Y'all ever use one of them drop-off services for your laundry?
No.
That shit nice, man. Man, I was living when I was living in Tulsa for work. That was a part of our package or whatever.
Tulsa,
So,
Oklahoma.
I was out there for work for like a year, and we stayed in hotels and so you get laundry service. Man, that was the sweetest shit I ever had in my life, man. You just take them people a big bag of clothes, bro. They give it back to you, folded up, wrapped in shrink wrap.
Damn,
Oh,
I
that was
hate
the
doing
life.
laundry, bro. I hate doing
You
laundry.
are That was the life.
I'm looking at a bin full of clothes right now. I gotta wash. I'm thinking about folding them, loading.
I got to, man. If I don't get in the shit house today, I gotta knock out some of this laundry. I'm probably gonna chill around the crib. That's a thing, man. Like going out there, me created some real bad habits for me, man. And like
Shit made
it
you
took
lazy,
me.
probably.
Yeah, made me so I'm already naturally lazy, dog. So don't help me. You know what I'm saying? I got this lazy shit all by myself. And so going out there, it made me just super lazy, like, because everything was taken care of and it wasn't costing me nothing. So, that's how I got plugged in with DoorDash and all that shit, man. Because hey, it didn't matter. It was coming out of my per diem, and I was making so much money out there that I was getting 50, I think I was getting $52 a day, something like that per diem.
Damn.
And
A
that's
day?
tax free. That's just food. Yeah, that's just your food money.
I would have
So I'm
gotten
getting
that.
$52 a day. And the other thing about our per diem too was it rolled over. You ain't had to use it or lose it. If you ain't use it just you just got that money. So man, I picked up dropping laundry off, convenience food brought to the door, sneakers, all this shit started in Tulsa, dog. It took me a long time to break all the habits. I ain't bought a pair of shoes this year. And that's been tough for me, man. That's been real fun. I wanted them pennies that just dropped. And
That's all though.
the only reason I didn't try to get those is that was Thursday. I had a migraine and I fucking around and I had my phone on DND. So when sneakers was letting me know the drop hit, I didn't catch it. And so I was like, damn, that was like gonna
You a
actually make my
sneakerhead. I remember you said
Yeah, unfortunately.
watched any.
That shit a bad addiction. You good, X? You muted. Hit the microphone on the there you go, there you go.
Yeah, y'all get me?
You good, man. Just making sure you're straight. Making sure you're straight
Hey,
for the
Maude, that
kids.
was a big pause this morning, bro.
Oh,
I woke up and I saw that. I said, what the hell?
happened?
Oh,
In the
my
chat.
bad, man. Roadhouse.
It happens, though. It happens.
Roadhouse yesterday. Bro
said
Oh,
that
so.
beat the shoe on. I said, Maude, it's too early.
Say
Not on Sunday
no
morning.
meat.
Not on the Lord's day.
Yeah,
Sit on
man.
the bomb.
It happens. It happens, dog. It happens to all of us, man. Look like Maul lagging a little bit. You might be. You might have a slight lag.
Ask what it
Oh.
do.
Let me see, is it me?
Chilling, man. I'm tired as hell,
Man,
man.
who you talking? I was
You
just
had a
telling
long night too? So it sounds like y'all boys both had the
I was just
You
telling
said he
Larry,
had
I
an
was
all nighter?
yeah, I was on that oil last night, boy.
Man, I was at Homestead last night, man. Had to leave Homestead to drive all the way back. That was crazy.
What took you like an hour? We
Man.
went down there for my family, my cousin. We had buried my cousin yesterday, so we went down there, man.
Oh,
Yeah,
condolences, bro.
and
Condolences.
man, I was drunk as hell. I was on it, man. It was so much Hennessy, man. We like, we done ran through like 3 gallons, and
Damn.
I'm like, man, we need some more.
Yeah, y'all was on the same shit. That's yeah. That must have just been in the air yesterday.
Yeah, I
Man,
was on
it
that
was just
Tuesday
one of
last
those
night.
days, man. It was just one of those days. I'm like, man, I'm gonna just drink. Might as well. That's fine.
So you do say over Henny?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Nah, Henny, but I just last night I just wanted some Ducé because
Switch it up a little.
it's a big taste difference to me, but Yeah, I used to be on him when I drink brown, but I either be on Hennessy, the 1738, or the Douce.
Douce got a real floral taste to me.
Yeah.
I ain't crazy about Douce. I'm not really a cognac drinker in general, but if I'm gonna drink something, pass me the hen. When I tried Douce, I was like, this ain't really.
You be mixing it with anything?
Not typically. I'm usually straight up. If anything, maybe like a splash of Coke or maybe like a splash of Dr. Pepper. But that's typically I like mine just kind of on the rocks.
Yeah, I'll be sipping mine with just ice.
Yeah, that's
I like Douce. Douce straight. Douce good, man. It's just more expensive.
Yeah.
That's that price up, like, man, let me stick to Hennessy.
Stick my brand. And Henny ought to be sponsoring you by now. Everybody, you and Henny is synonymous.
Right.
So
at
this point, you know.
It was so funny because when I used to promote at G5, you know, AB, he owns the club. So, Hennessy used to do like the sponsorship stuff over there at the club, and he used to always call me like, man, you know, the people coming here for Hennessy. I'm like, well, I'm on the way.
Yeah,
I'm on the way, man. And he'd be like, oh yeah, well, we gonna give Hennessy away this night. I'm like, man, you ain't gotta give nothing away, just get me.
Hey, what got you on Hennessy?
Man, listen, I think I was 15 years old, man. I'm at football practice. No, I'm getting ready to go to football practice. And my brother,
right?
That's a crazy intro already.
Right?
They drinking in the parking lot, so I'm walking out to the practice field, and he like, man, I see them drinking. I'm like, man, let me get it. You know, let me just get a sip. I took the shot, and you know, it was hot to my chest, man. And then,
you know.
And ever since then, it was like, well, Hennessy. He like, yeah, man, you took that shot. You was tripping on the field. You was going crazy.
Man, like, yeah, hey, listen, you need to start tagging them in your Canesville shit, man. Put that in your comments down there. See what traction you pick up.
Oh yeah, you're a real deal sponsor for that shit, boy.
Next thing you know, they might pull up on you. Throw me a little bottle in the back, you know, just a little visual. You know what I'm saying? They might pull up with a little number for you.
I'll take it.
Yeah, shit, y'all do good numbers over there. Shit. Let them boys cut a little check, man. Brought to you by Hennessy.
Oh, yeah.
That's some fire shit. That's what you're trying to get out here, you know?
Yeah, them the big corporate, the corporate sponsors, mm-hmm. The big ones, man.
Yeah, everybody in here feeling yesterday a little bit. I was lucky. I had worked. I've been up early, so I faded the black fast. I was telling Measy, I drank some strong-ass beer. Like, the weakest one I had was 8%, and I had about 6. Yeah, but I was up already since, like, 2:30, 3 in the morning. So, yeah, my fade was, bro, I was up out of there fast, man. I hit that limit. I was like, all right, get my ass on out of here, dog. I was like, hey, man, as I told my boy, I was like, yep, about that time, boy. Came on in the crib, knocked off some wings. And that was all she wrote, boy. I woke up on the couch looking crazy. Like, who did it and why?
I get home last night. I'm like, damn, man, why I should have stopped to get something to eat? You know, I probably didn't get home. It was probably like maybe 1, around like 1:30. I'm like, man, I should have stopped to get something to eat. I forgot I didn't go grocery shopping, so I don't got no type of food.
Man, that's the worst feeling, man. You on that oil, you get home.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing to eat.
Search for something. I'm like, man, just something. Is there something in here?
Well, I was at a restaurant. I took the wings from the restaurant on the way to the house. Yeah. And I ate like 6 of them up there.
I was gonna leave and go, man, but then I forgot. I said, oh dang, the kids are asleep, so I can't just leave them here.
Yeah, just slide out. Dang. Yeah. Nah, I did. I was smart. I coated the stomach a little bit. You know, had 6 wings.
Tell us how your next day gonna go too. If you coat that.
Yeah, I had 6 at the bar, 6 wings at the bar, and then I ordered a dozen to take home. Cause we was up there like, shoot, about 3 hours, something like that. Yeah, we was up there about 3 hours. So I knew by then. I was like, yeah.
Man, I remember one time. It was like a month ago. I came home. I forgot like eggs. I ain't go grocery shopping. Ain't nothing. I was like, man, I ain't about to leave again. And I sat down and made me some damn oatmeal at 2 o'clock in the morning.
See, and you know what I do to be messed up, especially if I get drunk. Like, if I sit at home and get drunk or something, I'd be like, dog, you know, clearly I'm not going to hop behind the wheel. Man, my drunk ass up. Fuck around, order some DoorDash and pass out. Wake up like 3 hours later, like, goddamn. Somebody stole my shit last time.
That DoorDash probably like $30 too.
Bruh, ain't it, man? Hey, cuz I got up. This happened to me like a week ago. Yeah, Mac, about a week ago. Man, I got up, man. I ordered a sandwich, a sub sandwich. Man, I got up. That bitch was gone, man. And the dude dropped it off. I saw it in the pictures. They did give me a little credit, thank God. But I was like, damn, man. That's a drunk ass get. Yeah, no business. Ordered no fucking food. No, you a sleepy drunk. And know how I get down, but that way.
Yeah, well, you sleepy drunk, but you be done.
Mm-hmm. But see, I know myself now. I'm 40, you know, 41 years old. So now I know, like, when that thing started, when I feel just a little bit, I'm like, oh, time to hit the house. There ain't nothing but stop.
Larry, you say you don't get hangovers, though.
Very rare, very rare.
X, you get hangovers?
And that's usually because I think for the most part, I stay pretty hydrated. I drink a pretty decent amount of water, too. So I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I don't think I had a hangover since I was like in my early 20s, man.
So you could drink a fifth of Hen and wake up no hangover?
I'd be good.
Oh, yeah. I'd be good. Typically, I'm straight. Typically.
Like Larry said, I get up early every day anyway. I'm up around like 5 in the morning every day. So I'd be good, man.
Sleep. 5 is sleeping in for me because that's when I got to be at work. So, yeah, most days. Yeah, I just typically ain't really a big thing for me, man.
It'd be the thing, man. You just got to like drink water, drink a lot of water, man. And then make sure when you going to consume a lot, make sure you eat. At the same time.
Yeah, so make sure you slap something down. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how people be getting the hang of. They don't eat. They don't drink.
And they drinking up a soda all day.
Yeah.
You drink soda all day, liquor all night. Yeah.
Yeah. That dry you out. Yeah.
It's
going to come up. It's coming up. There's a whole lot of acid right there, man. So it's coming.
You know, life is about balance, dog. You can't just do bad on bad. You got to throw some alkaline water in there, man. You can't just be all day long just, all right, I'm just going to, you know, sugar. Then some alcohol to help dry me out. And then, yeah, the next day, I feel like shit. Yeah, I imagine you do. I would too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, girls do that all the time. Like, I tried to give you some water. You want to drink the water?
Ain't nothing for me. Shit, man. I usually actually, especially when I'm out, normally I do one tall glass of water for every two drinks. If I'm like out and, you know, like if I'm at a bar or something, even if my pole plan is the Uber, I usually try to have one for every two drinks.
Now I'll catch a hangover. That's one thing I'll get, boy.
Just waking up. What time you think you went to bed?
Like, I don't even remember, bro. Like 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, you gave him about, you down to give him 12 hours of sleep. Boy, you bad.
No, I was tired already too. I don't know. I had woke up though. I was up like at 8 for an hour and then went back to sleep.
That's what's up. Shit, man. I guess we'll get on into the show a little bit.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Welcome back to another episode of 26 Degrees. I am your guy, Larian, aka Tilikum. People have been asking a little bit about the Tilikum. If you don't know about Tilikum, man, go watch on Netflix. It's a documentary called Blackfish. Check that out, man, and you'll understand the energy I'm coming with, man. If you jump in that water with me, man, you might not come back out. That's all I'm going to tell you. But here with my main man, Meezy, as usual.
What it do, make sure you say the Turnpike Meezy.
Turnpike, you right. Turnpike Meezy.
Yeah, another day, Florida boy.
He's Florida a Florida boy, but he is up in the DMV. But one thing about it, he'll go right back down that road.
Yes, sir.
Pull up
yes,
and go down in the old Gunshine State.
Yes, sir. Man, another beautiful day. Sunday, man. Nice day. Good weather, man. Here swinging with the boys. X, what it do?
What's up, what's up, what's up, what's happening?
Real Field General.
Yeah, man, I was feeling that generous thing this week, but it was hot out there at practice all week.
On the field for real, right? Like,
yeah, right.
I'm telling Speedy, I'm like, well, look, if y'all start looking for me, I'm over there by the cooling system.
Yes, sir. I'm getting here a little bit.
I'm about to go.
Hey, you ever hop in?
Nah, man. They opened the door, and I was getting ready to walk in, and I look around, I'm like, nah, I don't want to do this. And they be like, man, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I just asked the coach, man. Fuck that shit. Hey, coach, it's hot as shit out here, man. You mind if I get 5 minutes? You know, like.
But the good thing about it is, it's right there between the opening of going inside the IPF. So once you walk in the IPF, then it's AC in there. You know what I'm saying? Mm. It's like a big AC thing that's blowing, and the IPF is cool. So
that's
I sneak in there all the time. I'm, man, yeah, it's gotta too do high, it. I'm right there.
Gotta do it. And what else is usual? Maul, I think Maul, you was going last show, wasn't you? I think Maul had his PTO last show.
We had a PTO, man. We was having a little church.
You earned it, bro.
So I went to church.
And yeah, man. Everybody here, one thing I say about this team, everybody's been here, been staying down. And I commend y'all for that, man, tremendously. I appreciate everything.
Yeah, we always figure it out. People got stuff going on, man.
Oh, yeah, it's life. But be honest with you, I don't think none of us really done miss, what, maybe 2 shows?
That's probably it for real. Each, yeah.
Maybe 2 at the max. I think we've been doing real good on that, man. So good on y'all.
Man, even if we ain't had a half sleep sometimes or something, we on here.
Yeah, just like any work environment, no one calls in regularly, if you do need to call in, need to tap out, you know, it's all good because it ain't nothing habitual you got going on. So all good vibes.
That's real. Let's see. I'm gonna kick off with. Actually, you know what? I want to start off with something a little bit. It's not on a docket, but somebody brought this up, and they said, which I just didn't believe at all. But I know X, you out there, so you sure? I'm sure you could help clear this up. What's this about players leaving practice early for autograph sessions?
What?
Players? Yeah.
I was like, somebody asked me that. I said, no offense, man, but that sounds like some bullshit them gays made.
That sounds like some hocus pocus crap. Like,
I was like, knowing Mario, it's just not going to happen. I was like, I said, I don't know that not to be true, but I know that ain't true. I'm just like, it don't.
Nah. The only time a player could leave practice early is if they got to go to a class. All right. And that's rare.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because I say you should be scheduling your classes around that.
Yeah, so that's rare. Like, or they got to go do like an exam, you know, but that's rare. Again, that's rare. You know what I'm saying? They not scheduling classes around practice time. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, they say how much they hate Ruiz, so it was, for Life Wallet to go sign autographs. I'm like, come on, dog.
Nah,
Ruiz is, clearly a Canes fan, so you think he pulling players off the field from practice time to go sign autographs? This is what y'all stupid to now?
Yeah, that sound crazy.
It sound crazy. I was like, I'm not trying to be insulting, bro, but.
But okay, so what they probably heard was while the football team is practicing, LifeWire probably doing they probably doing the shoot, and they not understanding that LifeWire does have other athletes besides football. They got baseball.
Yeah, they got basketball players.
You know what I'm saying? So now if they heard something like that. Okay, maybe those guys doing it while the football team is practicing, but the football team not leaving practice to go do nothing.
Yeah, I was like, dog, I'm sorry. He come from that saving tree.
Mario
would have picked up those habits.
How nosy of a person you got to be to wonder, to even know or make an assumption of what the other fan base is doing during practice. I promise I don't tell you nothing. That's going on these other teams' practices. Like, I couldn't tell you.
I don't think they nosy, man. I think they lying. I just think the lie got started, and they threw it out there, and you know, and then I guess you're right. Yeah, some people was nosy.
Everyone afterwards. Jumped on,
right? Because oh shit, Miami, these boys ain't serious about no ball. It's like, come on, bro. Like, that's what you want to believe. That's what we done talked about before.
Who's been at practice since the fall camp will tell you, hey, they serious. Like, it ain't no nothing going on without, you know what I'm saying, the plan, man. Mario got that thing running like it ain't nothing what we seen in the past, man.
Yeah.
What day that was? I think it was Wednesday. Okay, no. The first day of pads. I think it probably was Wednesday. Maybe Wednesday or Thursday.
I think it was Thursday.
They let us watch practice the whole entire day. That was a first. You know what I'm saying?
That's so cool.
And it was, one thing I will say, man, it was some heat, you know what I'm saying, some very tension going on with players. Competition, the offense versus defense. It looks real because the offense is battling the defense, and the defense they just don't like each other right now. So now it looks like
that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's kind of looking like, man, hold on, this a battle, and we got some players, man, on offense that kind of caught my eye a lot that particular day. I didn't think a lot of those players had stuff like that in them, and they are.
No backing down.
They some of them initiating hits and stuff like that. You like, oh, hold on.
Joking.
Mario ain't joking, man. So anybody who think it's a game, just wait, man. Wait, the season coming. That's all I'm saying. The season coming, and you gonna see a whole lot different than. Yeah. Which I thought.
And Brett McMurphy got us
number four.
Haters.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about,
but hey. This was funny to me. I said, well, wait, when I told y'all Brett was out, didn't know shit when he was saying that, you know, the coaching search was a nightmare and this and that and the other. And I said, listen, man, I'm talking to people very close to the program. I'm telling you, Brett don't know nothing. And what he's getting is information from disgruntled people that are upset that they aren't in on the situation, on the search. Oh, so now you know more than Brett McMurphy. Yeah, on this case, I do. I ain't coming. So then when Brett put this out, I say, oh, now Brett don't know shit.
Which one is it?
Uchi Wally.
We'll ride with him for that.
Is it Uchi Wally Wally or is it one Mike? You know what I mean? I need to know. I mean, like, okay, you got to keep a consistency with all these takes. I'm gonna go on record as saying, thank you, Brett. I appreciate that. Little high.
What was that? An apology or something?
For the other shit. I mean, this is the thing. What he's saying is plausible. I mean, we do have a quarterback that is a Heisman watch candidate. We're bringing back a lot of experience on the O-line. We have a nice running back room. We got some good receivers. You know, maybe not as dynamic as we may want overall. And then on the defensive side, that D-line is a lot more tooled up this season than it was last season.
Big time.
D-line, man. I think, is going to actually be pretty scary this year. I think it's going to get a little – gonna get a little spooky again down there in the on the front four.
Yeah, they said they some noise.
I really do. That's Miami bias aside. Just I think we may have something pretty special on the D line, and then I think our secondary is going to be very solid again. Biggest question marks will be at linebacker again. So
the defense, you know. I think the defense is going to be a whole, man. I don't know what rank we was. I'm pretty sure we was ranked in the hundreds in defense, mm-hmm. but I can guarantee. we gonna probably most likely be a top 20 defense. Just the way they gonna play, how fast they gonna play, how much they gonna rotate the defensive line, which is important, keeping the guys healthy,
keeping them fresh, right,
for the season. I think the defense is gonna be a whole just better. The linebacker group, you know, everybody says that's the question mark. I think they brought in an older guy in Caleb Johnson, who understands football. Maybe he's going to be in the right system, fit for Kevin Stills, him, Steve, Keontra Smith, Chase Smith, Wesley, Corey Flagg. I think he has the right linebackers to fit his system that he wants, because it's only going to be two on the field.
Right.
This week, I've seen scenarios where it was only one on the field.
And yeah, but still going to mix it up, man.
That's when they bring in the three safeties. You know, that's when you see you got James, Avante, and Cam. And then you see James just start roaming the field. And that's going to be scary when you just see James just zero just come out of nowhere. And then the quarterback just hit the ground because he's not trying to take a hit. You know what I'm saying? So,
man, that's going to be. People have to really understand what kind of player he is. Let's not forget he was a five-star, right? Okay. But you got to look at the range, the amount, like his wingspan and range as an actual real deal safety.
Well, he's 6'5", right?
Yeah, he's 6'5", right? 6'5". So you're talking a legit 6'5", probably got damn near 7-foot wingspan. So what he does is he's going to close up some of those lanes back there that – other guys just wouldn't be able to do just because they don't have that wingspan to get in some of these lanes. And another thing I've been reading up on him that's been a little understated is his football IQ.
Excellent football IQ.
So between, you know, him and Tay and Cam, you got three guys back there that really break down offenses quickly and get people in right positions. So, yeah, I really think, even though I think Brett is, you know, reaching, some things could go right where this is possible. Is it plausible? No. First year coach, you know, we're still building some areas of depth, but we don't have a bad roster. That's the one thing that has been why people are so upset with Miami, because end of the day, we ain't never had like a bad roster, especially when we're in the coastal. We really should have been lining it up every year. Even if we was losing to Clemson every year, we should have been lining it up against Clemson on a yearly basis, period. Yeah, yearly basis. Just based on talent.
And it shows how bad we've been as a program in terms of coaching and scheme and just discipline. Like, you can see the difference. Like while we just circling back, like, Nick Murphy putting us at four, right? It probably doesn't make sense, but one thing I did notice, there was no clear team that should have been at four. From 4 to 15, 4 to 20, 20 people could mix it 20 different ways.
Well, that's always been my take. I've been saying
didn't
that.
Matter, man. And even it, like it, I was I'm watching sorry, them. Oh, sorry. I was watching the ACC the road trip thing they did. And they went down to Miami. You can notice from the beginning of the show the way the ACC people were talking to the end of the show. Once they saw practice, they were almost like, "Oh, Miami's actually physical. Like they look a little different." You can notice their pitch change. I think the guy named Packer from Packer Durham on ACC Network. Like you can notice, like by the beginning of the show, he was kind of skeptical. But by the end of the show, he was like, "Oh, okay, I'm seeing a different Miami." So, and at the end of the day, putting Miami fourth is going to get Brett a bunch of clicks, and it sure did.
Yeah, it's a hot take. Don't get me wrong, but it's a hot take that could be very plausible. We don't have a very difficult schedule again. So the difference is, are the coaches going to get the most out of this talent? And that's what he may be banking on. He may be going, "Look, these guys ain't got to run the gauntlet. they can probably go out to Texas A&M and beat them guys, right? So what if they beat Texas A&M, right? So now we built some confidence. We're on a 3-game win streak to start the season now. We won't have another tough game again until FSU. And that's going to be relatively tough only because it's a rivalry, in my opinion. Now, I will say I do think FSU is going to have a pretty good defense this year, but I still think they're going to struggle offensively, especially up front on the O-line. They got a few injuries up there as well.
I don't think their defense is going to be that good either. I think they just
I think they're going to be solid. I do. I
think they caught us in the vulnerable situation.
Well, I ain't talking about that game. Worst loss in Miami history.
Their defense
they got better towards the end of the year. They got a little better.
Yeah, I still don't think they're necessarily going to be a great team because every great team or even good teams got to be balanced. I don't think they'll be able to do what they need to really on offense. Yeah,
they don't have.
I don't know if they got the wide outs.
Right.
They got a decent running back. Jordan Travis could be a workable college quarterback, but again, it starts in the trenches, and I'm just not so sure about that O-line and wide receivers. So, they'll win some games, of course, but.
And you said we don't have a tough game till Florida State, so, like, we ain't thinking about Carolina because, I mean, they've had a tough.
They do have our number. Let me walk it back. Hold on. You're right, because I've been getting on Canes fans about this, so I can't do that myself. We got to start acknowledging UNC as a legit rival.
When the last time we beat them? Like 4 years ago?
We lost 3 in a row.
3 in a row. And I believe the record. They've been beating us.
I think the all-time record. Ma, look this up for me real quick if you can. I think the all-time record is like 13-13. Maybe we're up one. It's very, very close. I think
that's a robbery game.
I've been trying to tell people, oh, man, North Carolina ain't no route. Shit, me. If they beat you as much as you beat them.
Games used to be close. Devin Hester days. Some games used to be close, man. It used to be dog fights.
Dog, our all-time
it is 13-11 North Carolina.
Wow.
So they actually up on us now.
13-11 North Carolina.
They up on us now because we
should have. So last year should have made it 12-12, but we lost again.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Lost it.
Yeah, that's a rivalry, man. So you're right. So let's count North Carolina as a tough game before FSU.
I will say this. North Carolina, I heard they just lost their running back for the year. And also the tricky part of the schedule is we go to both Virginias. And anytime, for some reason, it gets spooky when we go to Virginia.
Well, I mean, you got it. Okay, so when I say that, let me walk it back a little bit again. All conference play is tough. You know each other.
Right.
There's a lot of skin in the game. Virginia needs to beat us. Virginia Tech needs to beat us. These teams need that for positioning within the conference. And we know each other. We got some bad blood between each other. So, but I will say amongst those teams, I think they're all, they don't have the talent we have, right? And they got new coaches as well. And none of their coaches have the experience or staff that we have. So these should be wins. Outside North Carolina. North Carolina's bringing back the same squad. But Virginia and Virginia Tech.
Well, North Carolina don't have that quarterback. Neither.
Well, North Carolina, they don't got
they got some they losses too, right? Yeah, yeah, But they got the same staff.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I agree. You're right.
Staff. Okay. I got you.
Yeah, I think they'll be depleted somewhat talent-wise, absolutely. I don't think this is as good a North Carolina team as it was last year. I'm not that big a Howell guy. Honestly, for the most part, Howell really ain't do a lot of damage to us. It's been a running game. They just ran all over us.
Right.
Where did Howell end up going? Y'all, anybody know?
The Redskins.
Yes.
Yeah, ain't no Redskins.
The Commanders.
Commanders.
Yeah, he had a good game yesterday, though.
Yeah, against the third string, dog. I don't pay none of that shit. No mind. I do not watch preseason, bro. I don't care nothing about no preseason. Because 60% of them guys got to go home. or on practice squad.
Yeah.
I was never a big Sam guy. What round did he go?
I think he went like sixth.
He fell big time. He fell big time.
He was never that good to me.
I mean, he didn't have a good pro day.
3-0 against Miami. The thing is
about a lot of these quarterbacks, and I be trying to explain to fans, I say you got to understand that a lot of quarterbacks are system quarterbacks, which is why they look so good in college. Because guess what? They have a certain system that makes them look good.
Ohio State have a system
where all their quarterbacks look good. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So when they go to the NFL and you be like, well, damn, they don't look good no more. Why? Because guess what? They don't have that same system. You know, and that's what Sam just benefited from a system that was put in place for him at Carolina. It was just perfect, you know. So once they start saying, well, let's see if he can start doing some pro things. Uh-oh, he can't do the pro things. What's going on, Sam? You know,
man, I told people, I was like, listen, no hate. I'm watching this guy. I don't see all this special. And especially when he's played us, like I said, Sam never really did us no real damage.
Yeah, nah. Well, I would say his freshman year,
I was going to say outside of that game.
His freshman year, but sophomore year, all he had to do was say, I can hand the ball off for right. sophomore year. Last year, they ran the Same ball. Thing. You know what I'm saying? So he benefited from a horrible coaching against us, man, but.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Right.
Froze.
Oh, I froze? My bad.
Yeah, you good now. Go ahead.
Okay, I was just gonna say, like, to me, like, we as Miami, I feel like what Mario's gonna do is raise the par, right? Raise our floor to where, like, we just shouldn't lose these kind of makes sense that we beat NC State and Pitt, but lost them other three games to Florida State, UNC, and Virginia because them three schools got bowl eligible except for Florida State because we beat them, because they beat us. Had we won them games, they wouldn't have been bowl eligible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got out coached.
I just badly coached, man. The one thing I keep seeing a lot in practice is the effort. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the effort is big now. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to go into games unprepared. You're not going to see kids like giving up. Michigan State game, you can see kids gave up.
Yeah, we gave up.
In the fourth quarter, they gave up. Parts of the Virginia game, you can see kids giving up. Parts of the North Carolina game, you can see kids giving up. You know what I'm saying? Alabama game, I mean, like we gave up as soon as we got off the bus. You just see stuff like that, but it ain't going to be like that no more. You know what I'm saying? Because Mario, and not only Mario, we got to forget, we have Kevin Stills. We have Coach Charlie Strong. Those guys aren't tolerating that stuff. Like, they're not tolerating giving up. They're not going to tolerate players not showing full effort on the field because they will snatch you out the game. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just Mario. It's maybe the whole staff. Coach Adai might be the hardest coach out there. He's in detail. Like, he see something he don't like, he come and he get in your chest. He's probably one of the youngest ones on the staff on field, so he come get in your chest. You know what I'm saying? And he come and get in your chest like it ain't like a friendly, you know, friendly conversation. You know
what I think he is the youngest coach. I think he is the youngest coach on the staff. Position coach.
He's the youngest on-field coach. Right. But yeah, the staff, man, they all coaching together. They all letting it be known that you got to give maximum effort. But if you're not, getting on this field. We don't care who you is.
That's real, though. It's a standard, man. You got to have a standard. You got to hold on to it. And I think Mario knows that. One thing you have to understand, maybe from a fan standpoint, that maybe everyone doesn't get, is Mario came from that Saban tree, and he has a very intense personality, very high demand. He's going to wear some coaches out. same way Nick Saban does. But it also makes them better at the end of the day. What you'll end up, that type of personality is going to reflect in your team from the coaching staff down to the players. That's exactly what you want. I tell people, being a head coach is honestly pretty easy. And when I say that, what I mean is all you're supposed to be doing is surrounding yourself with people that are better at what you do than you are, right? And then your job as a head coach is to establish the culture. When you look at when we had Manny, you had, Tate Martell, who was, third string, and he gonna take a personal day, and Jaren Williams gonna take a personal day, and it's like, huh? Personal day? Nah, that's not the culture we're creating around here. We're not, what we got going on, in practices, what you need to do and the responsibilities you need to take care of so that you could be here. And that's the head coach's job, is to establish the culture around the program. I mean, Dable ain't no X's and O's guy. He's just a guy that has a high level of organization and accountability. That's why people don't, some people don't know maybe, but that's why Dable doesn't drop kids. He holds his coaches to a high standard. You offer that kid, I'm going to let you offer. That's your job.
You got to coach him up, Dable, though.
Yeah, Dable. I think Dable is supposedly does one a year, one offer a year. Everybody else do the offers. Everybody else handles that part. But he's going to hold you accountable for the offers that you drop. So, again, and how has Clemson outdone us? They've been killing us, right? And I'm telling you, their head coach, I don't think anyone goes, he's a schemer. He's just the CEO over there. That makes sure.
Now he was, because remember when he first got there, he was the offensive mastermind for that school. That's all he had was offense.
Yeah. See how that went. See how that ended up. They Clemson it.
I guess, but I think this is the one that everybody gives Mario. They saying, well, he's an offensive line guy. So does he know offense? Does he know defense? I think. That's the knack that they say. They say, well, we don't know, can he coach good? Well, the thing is, he's a good head coach. He's a good head coach. Now, has he gotten the right staff in front of him to produce what everybody wants? Obviously, everybody wants the national championship. I think they grading him on that. Like that's so damn easy to get. I don't know why anybody had, a national championship so damn easy. It's only maybe what 4 current coaches who got national championships.
Yeah, they took Kirby what five, six years to get.
You see what I'm saying? Coach. So yeah. I think he's a damn good coach. Now with this staff, you just just imagine if the staff is together for 4 years. Can he produce a national championship within 4 years with this staff? He should. I'm talking about with the staff, and that's with how he recruits. He can, So, man, Mario, look, I'm excited every day to go to practice. Like last year, I used to hate going to practice. Like, damn, man, I'm driving down here to go see this, man. But now I'd be excited. Like, I be telling people, man, don't call me till after 11 o'clock. Like, don't call me, don't text me till after 11 o'clock because I'm going to practice. I be excited, man, because it's just something new that I haven't seen at UM in a long time, man. It's a standard. It's like, if you ain't serious, man, you got to go.
That's what's up.
And that's from the head to the bottom.
Go ahead, Mo.
It makes me think about Remember the Titans. Like, attitude reflects leadership, and that's what that's what I'm seeing, or secondhand seeing from people like X and other people who I know been at the field. It's a different product out there. It's not the same.
Right, you're right.
It's all business now, man.
Because you're right. It's coming from the head guy, And it's a trickle down effect into everyone else. Everyone else is expected. If Mario is going to be texting kids at 4 a.m, what you think he expect you to do? You know, and you and the staff, if I'm the head coach, I can just delegate all this stuff out. But if I'm doing it, I absolutely expect these other guys to be doing it. Let's see. I guess let's take it kind of out to the field a little bit. We've had, I guess now at this point, we've 1 full week, right?
The week and a half. We had a scrimmage yesterday.
You had a full week because they started last week Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had practice every day this week, which was crazy. I didn't know. I'm not gonna say I didn't know, but I didn't think they would have practice every day. Like, it was practice from Monday to Friday.
Right.
I'm like,
well, they took Wednesday. They took Wednesday off the day before full pads, I think.
No, they had practice on Wednesday.
I thought they took a day off before the pads.
No days. It was practice every day. What happened was the media, we couldn't go on.
That's right. Wednesday.
We weren't allowed to go on Wednesday.
That's true. Yep.
And then we went back Thursday. It was when they had practice full pass, and they allowed us to stay in practice the whole day. So yeah, it's been seven days of practice so far. And Saturday was the scrimmage.
Right.
And they moved. I mean, what I've been told for the practice, I mean, the scrimmage on Saturday is, man, the defense. I mean, but what I said the other day, I said the defense is, boy.
Yeah, they said defense won the scrimmage yesterday.
I'll tell you what, since you've had access out there. And, you know, like I said, we got a good week under the belt now. Let's go offense first. Let's see if we could point out maybe three highlights on each side of the ball. So what would you say maybe was one of the first things that has stood out to you as you've gotten a chance to observe practices, scrimmage on the offensive side?
Okay, on the offensive side of the ball, I would say I see the tight end group, they sticking out a lot. I don't think it's going to be many teams, if any, could guard our tight ends. I don't see it. I mean, it's kind of off our defense right now.
Right.
You know, so I just think the tight end group. I think, and then you know the way Josh Gaddis want to use the tight ends, I think that's going to, you know, that group is going to benefit a whole lot.
Let me ask you this, because the one name that has been just ringing bells, man, out of that tight end group is Will Mallory. I mean, seems like the staff is just in love with Will. And I'm not saying they're wrong, because I think Will was a guy that I've been, you know, been cheerleading for a while. I think he's a guy with a lot of potential that I just feel like, man, if we could just tap into that last little percentage, you could have a damn good tight end. So is Will one of the, you know, you speak on the group in general. Is he really kind of looking like that?
Yeah, the group in general. But, yeah, Will is looking good. So on Thursday when they allowed us to watch practice the whole day, they gave Will a non-contact red jersey, but he was still out there. They just couldn't hit him.
Right.
Again, when Will is on the field – and 12 personnel with another tight end on the field, I think nobody's going to guard Will. It don't matter who they put on him. So the way he runs his routes, his yard per catch will be like maybe 20 yards per catch.
Yeesh.
Because they'll put a linebacker on him. Will's going to run by a linebacker. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't think a linebacker could cover him. If they put a safety on him, he's going to probably run by them. And then people forget Will is 6'5". You know what I'm saying? So you can't throw the ball up top and he's going to get it.
Right.
12 personnel, Will looks good. He looks great. Thing with him, he just got to stay healthy, because if he does it, if he's not, it's a guy right behind him that's Poverty Lane. Well, go ahead and sit down. I got it from here.
Who is better, Will or Arroyo?
Naturally, Arroyo is better. Naturally, because he just does a whole lot more. Will, you know, let's throw Will a scene route. Let's throw him a Will route. You know what I'm saying? Or a post, and Will is going to be good. Arroyo, you could throw him in with slants, curls, drags. He do the traditional tight end routes, and he's going to.
Then he can block.
Man, he put a move on Devontae the other day, and I was like,
I heard about that move. Yeah,
I was like, "Oh my gosh!"
You think Will has NFL potential? Because I know Arroyo does. Okay.
Oh yeah, Will gonna get drafted, just off his measurables. How high he's gonna go is gonna depend on this year. Yeah, he'll probably be if we were just going off of last year, he's a 6th, 7th round guy. Somebody will take a flyer on him just because. He's had great flash. We just need consistency.
He can come back next year too, can he? Because of that COVID year.
Nah, Will is done.
No, I think Will done. Yeah, Will been here for a long time.
Will is
because he was. I was kind of shocked he came back. I was happy he came back because I think he understood. You know, hey, I want to play in the NFL. He needs a healthy year.
He was in that Mark Pope Lingard class, right?
Him and Brevin Jordan,
Him and Brevin Jordan was in the same, So,
right.
Yeah, the tight end room, okay. the offensive line group looking real good.
That's another one I've been hearing.
I think every group has gotten better, offense and defense. The one player I would say I haven't talked about, and I'm starting to see him kind of separate himself. As to maybe he might be receiver number one, Keyshawn Smith. I think he's going to. He's just been looking He's just been looking great out there.
They say he scored the first drive in the scrimmage last night.
Yeah, he looks great out there. I think he probably going to get that receiver one spot because for one he's working hard. He's working harder than all the other guys, and he just does exactly everything what the coach wants.
I mean, he's another guy that I've had a lot of hopes for. He's a guy that I definitely sold out, man. I threw a few lies out there to I definitely put the battery in his back. If he heard anything from Laren, I ain't did nothing but praise the young dude. I think he has a ton of potential. I think he has some size on him, some speed, and some route running ability. It's just really putting it all together, man.
Consistency.
And yeah, just getting consistent and just owning it. You know, owning who you are on this team and who you are as a man. Like, this is my football, right? I'm wide receiver one. Ain't no jokes, no game. I'm here to show motherfuckers, like, I'm him. Like, I'm that guy. So, that's also encouraging, because, to draw back a little bit, remember, we were talking earlier, very early in the season, preseason, that I was like, well, who do you guys want to see at wideout? And I said Ladson, because I still kind of feel that to an extent, and we'll see how that all ends up shaking out ultimately. But I don't want to bring in a guy with that much experience and he don't start, kind of feels like a waste of a scholarly to me if he ain't going to start, at a junior, but to see Keyshawn step up and take that next, attain that next level,
that's very encouraging. He's a fourth-year junior, too, I believe. He redshirted, too.
He should be was he a redshirt sophomore because of the COVID year?
I think he's a redshirt junior because I think redshirt he got junior.
He redshirt sophomore.
Redshirt, yeah, but I said that COVID year.
And then he tore his ACL 1 year or something like that.
Who that? Not Keyshawn Smith.
Keyshawn,
we talking about
Oh, you're talking about Lassen?
Yeah.
Oh,
Lassen. Lassen.
He's a redshirt, he's a fourth-year junior, I think.
He's
a fourth-year sophomore, don't forget,
God damn.
South. He's red shirt junior. He's a fourth year junior.
Okay, I'm about to say, man, how many loopholes can he jump through? Boy, fourth year sophomore.
Yeah, he's fourth year junior, yeah.
Boy, got four kids, a mortgage.
He's probably going to be one thing I noticed about him, man. He catches he'll catch a tough pass.
Mm-hmm.
He'll catch a tough pass. I think he kind of struggles with catching the easy pass. You know, it should be like the opposite.
Too good to be true. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he's a big body. I noticed they threw a lot of snaps his direction. You catch him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, the receiver group, obviously Jacoby George, man, when he runs his routes, he makes the catch look so easy. Romello Brinson, he's probably the best route runner on the team.
Jacoby got the best hands on the team, right?
Yeah. Jacoby got the best hands. Who else? Everybody, you know, they kind of got on me the other day about Mike Redden, and I was telling them, like, I just don't see it. Like, I don't know what y'all want me to say. The guy just haven't shown. And people talk about, he probably gonna be a starter. I said, well, if he's gonna be our starter, I think we're in bad shape every season. I just don't. He just don't do it.
They're just saying like he just gets a playbook more than everybody right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a dude who's head in the playbook more than everybody else, and he might not be good. I mean, that's just natural.
Yeah, and Redding's a smart kid. Yeah. So that's not super surprising. So I see why you say that. Other outlets have kind of, give him a little praise, but I think it's based on maybe just like, lineup orders and stuff like that. But I mean, he just knows the playbook better than everybody else. So, he's basically just another coach on the field for them. You got to remember, Redding came to us partially because of a program that we offer that other schools don't. He was close to going to Purdue, I think.
Florida State, I think.
I don't think Florida State had the program. I forget what it. Whatever he's majored. I think he was close to going to Purdue because of the same thing, because he wanted to go to that program.
Right. I think Eno's offered him.
I'd have to look at it, but I think that was one problem.
We got him from IMG, so I guess everybody figured he was going to be real good because he came from.
He didn't do anything at IMG for real though. He had like 10 catches that year.
Yeah, he did. He really did.
He's a big body kid.
Yeah.
So he has some potential, but it all got to come together. Again, potential without performance don't equal piss, right? Like,
yeah, it's nothing.
There's a lot of people I know with potential. Let's go to the other side of the ball.
Another quick note.
Go ahead.
The running back group, I keep telling people, man, if the guy's healthy, he's number one.
Chaney.
And I can guarantee you, he looks healthy right now, man. He running that. Chaney looking like the man.
That's my guy. So
I think the 1-2 punch with him and Rooster it might come to, it might be this year. That 1-2
See me, if I had it just drawn on paper, my 1-2-3 would be Chaney, Rooster, and Thad. I think Thad brings me that short down, gives me that short down power back, and also offers the opportunity maybe in some games where I just want to wear a team out in the fourth.
I think
Thad can provide that as well. So, I mean, not
so y'all the same think, heat. Y'all think Parrish is the outside looking in?
No. See, okay, so this is the thing, and I keep explaining to people, it's running back by committee, man. Obviously, Coach Kevin Smith likes Parrish a lot because, he coached Parrish at Ole Miss. The thing about Parrish and Knighton is they're going to be used a lot more out the backfield. You know what I'm saying? Running outside. So you don't really – it's not going to be too many carries doing that. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a whole lot of carries up the middle or, zones and stuff like that. And that's when the number game is going to come into effect when you say, well, we don't want to really give Parrish 20 carries. We don't want to give Knighton 20 carries. You know what I'm saying? We'll give them like 10. you know, maybe 15 touches included passes out there catching the ball out the backfield. So, and I think at the end of the day, man, like Larrion just said, you want to run the ball to wear teams out. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to just throw the ball up and down the field. So if you got a running game that could wear a team out to keep that defense on the field, which, you know, you're going to do that. And Chaney and Thad are guys who can do that. You know what I'm saying? Including with Citizen. You don't, I mean, you just don't want to wear a team. I don't think he's going to wear a team out with Paris or Knight. You know what I'm saying? So right. You just got to think what makes the best sense. You know, at the end of the day, yeah, we might do start Knight in Paris. You know what I'm saying? But in the fourth quarter, who's going to be in the game? You know, that's what's the most important part of it. So, but yeah, Chaney looks healthy right now.
I know, you know, a lot of people have been saying like Parrish and Rooster are kind of the 1-2 right now. So when I said that, that's just kind of my vision of how ultimately, if everybody's healthy, I think Chaney gives us the most versatile back, does a little bit of everything, run catch and block. I think Rooster brings that explosion and that catchability. You know, he's a guy that you could probably line up in the slot on some sets as well. And then, yeah, Thad would be that power back that, yeah, maybe in the fourth, man, I might just go back and forth with Thad and Don if we get in getting the push up front, might just try to beat you up, you know, shove you in the locker, take your heart from you. And that's how I think that could go. So we'll see. And like I said, Citizen's another kid that everybody, you know, proclaims is just, again, kind of that everything you would want.
He's looking exactly what everybody's saying.
I've been hearing it, man.
It's just, man, it's going to be hard because when you got those four running backs in front of you already.
Right.
You know, unless your name Bo Jackson or Adrian Peterson, I don't think too many gonna just come in and jump you. You know, and those guys know what to do in college football. They know how to block, you know, they know the playbooks, they know the assignments, you know what I'm saying? So that's what's probably gonna keep him from not getting on the field mostly. But
you think he red shirt?
I mean, I think they're going to play them four games and see, you know, what they could do. And then, you know, I'm looking forward to maybe them playing him on special teams. That's what I would do. If I'm not going to redshirt him, I would just let him return kicks and return punts and stuff like that. Because he's just too talented to not play. So,
right. So play, you just get him.
Yeah, just get him
involved in some kind of way. And then, you know, we got to project a little bit because you got to remember, you know, running backs, you know, very physical position. So you have to look out for injuries here and there. Not wishing that on anybody, obviously, but it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Nature of the game. So, yeah, I wouldn't rest.
12 games, too. So you want to say, man, right. We're going to need somebody for all 12 of these games. We don't want to get everybody hurt.
Right. Nature of the game. I think he will play. And we'll just see how big a role he carves out. Like, I forgot about it until Extra said it. I forget you could play four and still redshirt. So
yeah,
I definitely think he plays at least four. And I like what you said with the kick return possibilities. Like I said, just that talent. Let's just get him out of there, man. Let's give him a couple of shots. See what he can do. So let's go to the other side of the ball now.
The defensive side of the ball.
What's first stand out in your mind?
Man, that deals a line. The rotation of how they're going to use it. It's kind of similar to when remember when Coach Cool was here, how he used to rotate the D linemen a lot, but he kept them fresh. You know, they was able to sustain a full season, and this is what they're doing right now. With Jackson, man, Jackson is that guy. Jackson is that guy. Lincoln, what's his name? Lichtenstein. That's how you pronounce it, right?
Lichtenstein.
He's looking good again.
They said Mesidor played real good in scrimmage last night.
Man, Mesidor. You got Mesidor. man, the D-line is it's and Najee Kelly. That's I'm ready to say it. I'm telling everybody right now, Najee Kelly is our best defensive end.
Yeah, they said he played well last night too in the scrimmage.
And he's only 17 years old. He's our best defensive end right now.
You think that's a problem on Miami's end, or you think it's just that's how good he is?
Man, no, that kid is just good. He's good, good. Like, he is good. I ain't never seen a kid that age that's has a natural being when he comes off the ball. It's kind of it's hard for tackles to block him because his being is just he has one of those beings that looks like it's in the NFL already. And that's why Jason Taylor loves him. I mean, Jason Taylor loves Najee Kelly, man. That's he just got one of those, and I think Najee Lee going to play a whole lot. And it's no knock to say it again.
Oh my bad. No, finish what you were saying.
About Kelly. It's no knock to the other defensive ends we got, but I just think he his talent level is just way better than the other guys. You've been here a couple years, man. You haven't shown what you should have shown so far. And this kid comes in and he's showing it. Hey, we go play the kid who's showing it. You know what I'm saying? So that defensive line group, man, I think it's gonna be good, man. And if the defensive line is good, guess what? The defense is gonna most likely be good.
You're right.
What I was gonna ask was a lot of our guys we got, they can kind of play tackle or in, right? Like they're versatile.
Yeah.
Like Mesidor, Lichtenstein, they could be in or out, right?
Yeah, so it's gonna be situational with them. You know what I'm saying? You'll say you could have Lichtenstein in the game, Mesidou in the game, LT in the game. You basically got three D tackle, three D in the game at one time, and then you bring in a speed edge rusher, which you could have with either Cyrus Moss, Najee Kelly. They'll bring Thomas Davis down, you know, stuff like that. Maybe even Harvey. But now, you know what I'm saying? So you said, I got three D tackles who are going to play this run, and I still got an edge rusher who could go after the quarterback at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, with the defense, it's going to be situational. The same with the defensive back room. You got the three safeties in the game at the same time. You could put three cornerbacks in the game at the same time, stuff like that. It'll all be situational with Coach Kevin Steele.
That's one thing I've heard about him, man, and I listened to his interview, one of his media day interviews, and I was like, oh, I like this guy, man. Like, he might be an old head, but, you know, his mind is sharp, his ideas are fresh, and, you know, when they want to ask him about something, you know, Kel, like, who the quarterback? You know what I mean? What do they do well? That's his whole thing. Is, hey, man, I'm going to adjust to whatever we lining up against every week.
Yeah, I like how Kevin Steele, he's old. He's an old head, but, like, he adapts to the changes in the game, too. So he's not, like, stuck in the past trying to run what defenses that were back in the day. Like, he adjusts to the new college football offenses, right?
I mean, hey, you know, look what he did at Auburn against LSU.
I remember that game.
That championship team. Hey, man, they did a lot to hold them bottle that offense up. And that offense was going set record numbers, right? His offense was crazy. Something you definitely got to like about the Steele is his adaptability to the opponent.
Yeah. And I also think he understands we just don't got that alpha linebacker yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Which is why he said, well, you know, we just gonna play situational football where we do bring in three safeties. But then I can let James roam the field where he potentially be that second linebacker to take another linebacker who may be liable in coverage. You know what I'm saying?
So they're saying Caleb Johnson is pretty. It's kind of like sticking out to be like a top linebacker.
He had a real good scrimmage yesterday. The first couple of days of practice, I was like, man, I'm like, why we brought him here? And, you know, once the pass got on, then I understood why we, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. He looks. But then again, guess what? He's a 6-year senior. So I expect him to be better than the other guys. That's, You can't be in college that long and don't be good. You got to suck good. You hope.
You hope. So let's see. All right, what's something else you would say?
With the cornerback group, man, Darryl Porter been looking great. He looks every bit of advertised. I'm starting to question how the hell we let him get out of Miami. Like why we didn't sign? No, and I knew him in high school. But he looks good, man. Him and Tyreek basically are battling for who's going to be the cornerback one. I don't even know if that's something, but you know, they battling to see who's going to be the best cornerback, I guess you should say.
Right, right.
And then you still got Corey Kassie, who's probably the best cover guy we have. Al Blaze, Gilbert Fryson, all those guys. We versatile. We versatile all over. Right.
How physical is Porter right now?
Real physical. Porter getting your chest. He had an interception in practice this week where he jumped up in the air, and I was like, well, damn, I didn't know he could jump like that. He was up there.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I say, man, Coach Adai got those DBs playing. Like, they playing with a whole lot of confidence. Even DJ Ivy. Yeah, man.
I feel you though.
I was like, yeah, well, they doing their thing, man. But Porter really sticks out a lot. You know what I'm saying?
I've been hearing some good things.
He look like he's a gamer. Obviously, I don't think Tyreek got beaten practice yet. I ain't seen nobody beat him yet. But you know, with him, you could move him around.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they brought Porter, because now you can say, well, we'll put Couch and Porter on the outside, and Tyreek go stick that slot guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, again, Kevin Steele, he's going to play situational football, man. He's going to confuse a lot of offense, because they're going to expect certain things, and then he bring out something else. He be like, oh, hold on, man, he didn't show us this last week.
Right.
So
just, yeah, that's awesome. When you got your DC that's taking the role of being, you know, the one who dictates the flow.
Right.
He doesn't wait for everything to come to him. He's already done his homework, and now he's seen what you do, and he goes, okay, now do this instead, because I know this is what you want to do, so I'm going to force your hand. You know, his saying is make them play left-handed, you know, and if they're a left-handed quarterback, then you make them play right-handed, obviously, but his mentality is whatever you do great, I'm gonna try to strip that from you. Now show me what else you could do. And I like that.
Coach Charlie Strong with him, that helps a whole lot too, because now got two DCs who can scheme together.
These guys that have been around the game for a long time, done it at a high level. Just, you know, like I said, on paper, Miami's never had a better staff as far as like hiring in on paper. You could go back and see guys that developed and turned out to be really great coaches, but we've never hired at this level across
the already board. Developed coaching staff.
Yeah, already. Yeah. You seasoned vets. Yeah, we never done this. So I guess just let's see, one more highlight basically from the defense, man. And then we'll get into a little bit of recruiting stuff.
Let me see. What else stuck out?
What about
So you know, everybody rave about James Williams. They rave about Vontae Williams. I mean, I guess I'm not saying they forgetting about Cam Kitchens, but you know, like
they forgetting. You said it right. They forgetting.
Well, okay. Well, I would say they forget. I don't know why. I don't know why. I think, man, Cam. I don't want to say he's the best. I don't want to even say that for that group, because they all just good like that.
But
Cam is he might end up having one of those spectacular years in the defensive back for this year, man, because he just knows it. His IQ level, he's at every right spot. They got him finally playing where he belongs. He's not running at strong safety no more. He's not at the slot. He's playing free safety where he could roam the field and he sees the quarterback well, and you know he's going to get some turnovers for us this year. So
that's what's up, man. All good news. Just you know what,
we finally got to see the special teams this week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, finally got to see special teams, man.
Well, anything to talk about there?
Who's looking like it's going to be the punt returner and kick returner?
Okay, so they had Restrepo out there, Bashad, Knighton. Who else was there? Oh, I think it was a walk-on guy. Was out. I forget what number it is because he ain't had no numbers on the jersey. But that was just – well, we only got to see punt return. We didn't get to see the kick returns.
Kick returns.
Yeah, we didn't get to see the kick return. Bogalis, he was making 50-yard kicks like it was nothing. You know, Lou Hadley, he was punting the hell out the ball. So, I mean, we don't ever get to see special teams. So, we got to see them this week on that Thursday.
Yeah, about time. Get a little something. Let's see. Shift gears just a little bit. So, the latest recruiting. As we record today, let's see.
I know Jalen Bonsu commits today.
Yeah, he's supposed to be committing. We're recording right now. It's about 1:40. 2 o'clock, Stanquan Clark is supposed to pick. You know, I don't. I think he's alternate guy for us.
Yeah, he's Louisville.
I'm pretty sure he's going to Louisville. He was kind of an alternate guy for us. Bonsu, I will call that one a whiff. Staff went in. Identified him very early. Definitely built some good traction with him, but it looks like he's selecting today at 4 p.m. And everybody feels like that shifted over to Ohio State. So, you know, best of luck to do. No hard feelings. You had X's guy, and I went and watched his film because of X.
William Fowles.
Yeah, he went ahead and made a commitment to Louisville.
Louisville, yeah.
Louisville's doing pretty good, man. Can't knock him, man. Louisville's doing pretty good.
Yeah. Louisville recruiting real good. I think they recruiting the third best in the ACC.
They got that 5-star running back. They got that quarterback out
there. Yeah, they recruiting the third best. It's Clemson, us, then Louisville. I think that's going to be the recruiting thing for the ACC this year, especially. This season,
I see North Carolina kind of slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, they what happened with North Carolina in the previous years was Mac Brown was able to keep that Carolina's talent in state. You know what I'm saying? So now the talent level is not as high as it used to be. So they like, oh well, we getting the ones in state, but now we got to go get some other kids
because we got to go national.
Ain't got enough,
right?
Yeah,
right.
We ain't got enough, so.
And now, if he can convince, you're right. It's a different thing to convince him to stay home, but this ain't the same crop of home as few years ago where we had high 4-star guys along the line and things, other positions like that. So and then another one that was no surprise was Baxter, running back, chose Texas. That was kind of right was on the wall for that one as well. So, we'll probably pivot, especially we don't have a running back in this class. We do still need to find us one for this class.
I think it's going to be Chris Johnson.
I could see Chris Johnson.
It's going most likely. I mean, he already basically told me but. I think he just joined the process. Now, Ole Miss is making it interesting with him, though.
His dad wants Ole Miss, right?
Say what?
His dad wants Ole Miss, right?
I don't know if it's the dad. I think they said, look at what Ole Miss does with their running backs. Like, you fit what they do. So I think that's. I mean, it's just, he listening. I would listen, too. I mean, if you, with the speed he has, he can do a lot. And Ole Miss, we know Lane Kiffin does a lot with that type of talent. You know what I'm saying? So, end of the day, we'll see how it goes. I think he end up still being at UM.
No doubt.
you know, the William Fowle situation. I just I think UM just said, "Nah, we gonna still hold off." So he just went on ahead and went with Louisville.
Yeah, we still get big game fishing.
We still big game fishing for Dickey. Dickey. I don't even bother the Hakeem thing no more. I'd be like,
hey, I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure Hakeem is
A&M.
I got us like
Georgia.
I think he goes, FSU, A&M, or Georgia. Yeah. Those would be the three, and then I got us like four.
Nah, well, we you might put us five because Pittsburgh is still down.
I forgot about Pitt. Yeah, you're right. So
I'm kind of out right now with Pitt, and A&M.
What's the issue with that though? Like, what happened with that X?
I just think he just don't have no interest with you, man.
It's like, I think he just want to go. I think he just want to get out. That's all. I don't think it's nothing. I mean, and that's what some people have to understand is that everybody don't want to stay home. And it's, you know, with this staff, it's not going to be a lack of effort. Won't be that lack of effort or interest. Some kids just want to go, and I can't knock that either. I mean, you've been, you know, been around Miami or South Florida, or, you know, just Florida in general your whole life. Yeah, you may want to go see some different things, so.
Yeah, he's one. I mean, it still could happen because he does talk very highly about you, but I just still feel like, man, he
ultimately
Pittsburgh or Texas and them. Obviously, James Coley, you know, probably one of the best recruiters in the nation. When they come calling, you know, sometimes your phone is you pick up the phone on that first ring. You know what I'm saying?
So, no doubt.
But yeah, we still big game fishing, man. We still got some top O linemen and D linemen that we're still after. You know, some top DBs too. And you know, at the end of the day, I still say we might end up finishing at a top five class. When it all said and done.
We did get an offer out to a local kid for me, Terry Simmons.
Oh yeah, the D tackle from Georgia.
Yeah, D tackle out of Savannah. He actually played. My homeboy is the defensive coordinator over there, actually at Calvary Day School. Calvary's actually been one of our more storied programs over the years. They usually play some pretty good ball, put out some pretty decent players. So, yeah, I saw that and I was like, wait a minute. When I saw that we sent the offer, then I saw what school he went to. I had to hit my boy up. So he actually sent me a little film. I'm going to watch. I hadn't had a chance to watch yet. He just sent it to me like while we was on this call. So I'm going to check out some of the film he got on him. But that's one of our latest offers. He is committed to Duke right now. You know, maybe a diamond in the rough type kid. You know, boy's high on him, but obviously he coaches him. So. You know, we'll see. I'm gonna take a look and see how that. You know, see if I agree. And he told me it was kind of interesting to me. Is he said Miami's at the school every week, and I'm like, and Savannah.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they come in. Yeah, that goes to show you the difference in our recruiting efforts and the money being spent for them to have a rep in Savannah every week to go down and go check out Calvary and. They probably got a couple other schools, what you call it? Probably Effingham, South Effingham. And you got that other private school around the corner. I cannot remember their name right now. They produce some pretty good guys, too. I know they're red and black. I cannot remember the name because they're a newer school. But, yeah, so another guy on the radar. He says he's pretty much locking it up with Duke right now, but he's gonna definitely listen to Miami. So... looks like it might be Duke or Miami. So, you know, I'm gonna trust the staff. Everything ain't necessarily gonna be.
Yeah, man. Hey, Mario gonna end up pulling off one of those last minute signing day things. There, I'm like, man. Yeah, we trusted Mario all along. No, y'all don't have. Like,
no, you didn't. Yeah, he tripped out. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Folks selling out already.
Start, yeah, man. They be, you know, they turn into coaches, man. You know, just man, like,
we got with the number eighth or ninth recruiting class right now.
Right.
And you know, the timeline going crazy because they see a school in Gainesville, they recruiting good. I'm like, well, did y'all expect them to recruit?
I knew they would recruit, but you know what? I'll say this: as of right now, it could be some fool's gold, because it could be like what Willie did in Florida State. Yeah, you're getting these positions and it's high ratings, but is it filling the needs of your roster?
Nope.
That's what I'm looking at. Like, well, you got your linebackers and your old linemen taken care of. Like, so you know, you gotta be balanced.
They reached out to our old line commit. We got Frankie, I forget his last
name. Tenelau, yeah. They reached out to him. And you gotta remember, you know, when they had Muschamp bring in good numbered classes, but he couldn't never get nothing on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah. So it's not just about that number, it's about fulfilling your roster and your needs on the roster. You can't just, oh, we got six, you know, four-star corners. Well, yeah, but your old line's still trash, you know? Yeah. It's not just getting the star ratings. It's about fixing your roster and knowing what you need. Another guy, he placed us in his top eight, a three-star linebacker out of Georgia, Sandy Springs, so up north somewhat. He has us in with Clemson, Auburn, Kentucky, Louisville, Georgia Tech, Indiana, and Mississippi State. He did get an official offer when we were sending out offers on that day. Was that the first, like the official offer sheet day or whatever? Yeah. Hold on, let me get his name real quick. His name. I had it here. I had the graphic up, but I had the name up. I was like, what the hell? And I swore I had it on there.
And while you're doing that really quick,
go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Just, I see a lot of tweets about UF dominating the state. Like, when you look at that, they dominating their territory, the state. But like I posted on the tweet today, UF got one kid in South Florida, south of Belgrade, and we got a kid from Orlando and a kid from Melbourne. So don't
time right. Not that yet.
All that food. Please.
That's a fact. That's a fact, you know, and I actually said it on the roll up. I was like, well, maybe we don't want them. Like, you keep talking about who you get, and I'm like, well, are you beating us for a lot of people, or are these just guys that, for one, I mean, yeah, you're doing well in your territory, which is, you always done pretty good. I mean, Lakeland is your territory. It kind of always has been, so, you know, again, it's not just about pulling in the numbers, and then yeah, you can have these optics of yeah, we're running the state. Well, you might just be running, you know, that section that you've already done well in. You've typically done well in, but where's the fruit of that labor? Where is the? How does it ultimately pan out, and how does it end up looking? On what really matters, your wins and losses. You know, everything else could be cute and sound good, but at the end of the day, this game is about W's and L's. So you got to stack those up too. So, you know, no shots at them. They're doing well in the state. I did not expect them to do poorly in the state. But I also made a point to say I thought that Mario's real year in-state would be next year. That was already my prediction, so I'm not really shaking on how I viewed things. I still feel like next year is when you'll see a bit of a different landscape in the state of Florida. And so, you know, we'll see how that all plays out, man. Like I say, sound good. It's cool. Ain't mad at nobody, man.
I'm glad they doing something, man. Go ahead. You know, it don't bother me because, for one, we don't play them like that. So,
I don't care. I'm like,
I feel like that should have been directed to Florida State, right? Because, like, y'all compete for more Jacksonville, more Tampa kids than we do. And they all kind of fight over the same area. So, why y'all? And the point that never made sense was y'all 11 week 9. So, what are y'all celebrating? Y'all did all them tweets. Y'all didn't even pass us.
Hey, man, it felt good, you know?
that little drop of blood. That's what y'all got. That's it.
Let's say all that for a drop of blood, man. I still ain't found Kid name yet. Did he delete the graphic? Because I know I keep everything on I got like a Miami news feed, and I be down.
You got to be kind of careful, man, because a lot of kids are putting us in their top when, you know, we aren't recruiting a lot of these kids like that.
Yeah, no. And the only reason I really did bring him up is I know he tweeted out that he got an official offer letter.
Oh, okay.
So he did get the offer letter when we put the rest of them out. But now that I'm going back to look at the actual, because like I made a Hurricanes news list, I don't see it now. So I'm wondering if he deleted it, maybe he trimmed it down or something. So actually, you know what? I won't talk about it, and we'll see what comes back up because I can't remember his name anyways right now. I just remember he's a linebacker out of Georgia. And yeah, that tweet's gone. I say the picture because I saw it when it happened when I was recording earlier. But anyways, anything else we got? Pressing. Well, you know what? It ain't pressing, but we'll talk about it real quick before we get out of here. So, it dropped the new Miami Knights unis. Look at Measy with the head shake, X with the head shake.
But them things is hideous.
But they look better than the last two Miami Knights. Like, they look better. Man. So, the last two were hideous too, right?
No, these are the worst Miami jerseys I've ever seen, bro.
Nah.
I don't know, man.
Bro. The ones where they had the foil wings, them shits was crazy ugly. The Adidas first ones was terrible. I'm gonna tell you this much. That was the biggest thing I was happy about with Mark Richt is when he came in and was like, man, get these ugly ass jerseys out of here and went back to just the plain. I was like, yeah, I'd much rather see them. Then this shit with these damn cheap ass looking wings on the side. Them just god awful. The Miami Ice. Them shit's terrible with silver.
No, it was.
I'm not in love with them by any stretch of the imagination. But I think, you know, like I say, maybe two games a year, night games. It's a vibe of the city. You know,
you was like right, but the kids love them. That's all that matters.
And I was about to say, I think the kids going like them, you know. Buying one.
The kids love them. The kids love the locker room.
Yeah, in the locker room, they into they, that. They that's just temporary.
And that's temporary.
The Dwayne Rock Johnson locker room. Yeah, that was just $7 million to play with real quick.
easy.
Like, you know, lightweight. Nothing crazy. Boys
sitting on bleachers still in the locker room, man. We got
right.
Couches and chairs.
I was like, I'm sorry, man. First off, I don't even believe y'all took the time to make these jokes. These jokes ain't slapping, man. I seen y'all shit.
Yeah, I'm some stupid ass
talking
jokes.
About. Like,
I'm some stupid jokes.
That was dumb. It was corny. But just, you know, both of those things actually are just shiny toys for the kids, man. It ain't about old heads, you know, like me. And I'm more traditional. Don't get me wrong. I would be fine if we were just like Alabama with like two. You know, I'm fine with that. I like the green jerseys. Don't get me wrong. But I'd be fine if all we wore was orange jerseys and white jerseys. But green is actually my favorite one.
No, green jerseys are. I like the green.
That's my favorite jersey out there. But, yeah, so that was cool. Hopefully Adidas will sell something this year. Last year they didn't even sell us no new jerseys, you know, which was crazy because we switched the number font. And I really wanted that. I was like, oh, cool. We switched back, you know, to the old number font that everybody loves. And we kept the old traditional 80s design on the rest of the jerseys. But not yet. So we'll see, man. Y'all boys got anything else before we get out of here?
Kane's football season is almost here, man. Oh, we got 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Yeah, man.
It's up, man. All right, well, we're going to hold y'all much longer, man. We're going to get on out of here, man. Appreciate you tuning in. We'll be back every week like we have been. Nothing really, really changing over here. Just a slight adjustment. But we still here. 26 will be here for y'all, man. Oh, man, we here. Season, you know, it's gonna be up another level, man. Probably going definitely going to make it an emphasis to try to get some instant reaction shows out to you guys, even if it's, you know, a 10, 15 minute type deal. So look forward to that coming your way as well. So we thank y'all for rocking out with us, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend. I appreciate the reviews we got. If you haven't reviewed us yet, do us that quick and easy favor, man. That's free love. Don't take you nothing, man. Take you a few minutes of your time. Go ahead and Spotify got it. All you got to do is click 5 stars, man. And anything less, don't worry about it. But if you got 5 for us, man, shoot them 5 stars over, man. All right. Peace and love, man. We up out of here.
All right. Peace.
Later. We going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.